You are listening to In Response, a legacy podcast. A show where three handsome guys talk about their favorite Magic the Gathering format, Legacy. This show is brought to you by QueerNessAtAnyCost.com and Austrian-Legacy.com. You can support the show at patreon.com/response_legacy. And now, lean back and enjoy.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 29, our little green mailbag of
In Response, a legacy podcast.
I'm Philipp Klein.
I am Daniel.
And I'm Peter Plank.
And we're talking about legacy.
Most of the time.
And especially this time, because we have some huge, huge news. We had our Eternal Weekend performance in this episode, and also we have some great listener questions for you. But at first, I think we will start like we always do with a little bit of private stuff, and probably the most private life at the moment of us three is the one that Daniel has. So Daniel, what has happened in your life at the moment?
Well, I celebrated our, well, now confirmed lockdown again with my third doses of vaccination.
Yeah, for our listeners who maybe don't know, Austria is now in the fourth lockdown because
of reasons. Well,
because people are... I don't want to say it, but people are people.
Yeah, it's just that we want to be something like the leader in something, and yeah, we are the leader in corona numbers currently.
Yeah, so.
At least we are the best somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel now pretty confident in having all three vaccinations. I was surprised that the third one was not that hard of a knockout than, let's say, my second doses, which was horrific, actually.
Oh, yeah, I know. I think we wanted to meet up, and then you couldn't, because you were so ultimately sick.
Yeah.
You haven't felt great.
Yeah.
You haven't felt good. You haven't felt... possible.
I think it lasted for around 4 days, actually, until I felt normal again. But this time, I just had a... You know, it is quite typical that your arms hurt during the, after the vaccination. But besides that, there's nothing or hardly any side effects that I could have... thought of and experienced. So it's quite nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Besides that, what can I also say? Not really much. I like to... I'm a little bit more into modern again, actually. I mean, I don't want to deep dive into this now. But I had great success.
Oh, no!
Great success with Chant.
You failed us.
Yeah. I love the deck, or at least the current iteration of it. But of course, I'm not neglecting Legacy. I'm still on Storm and continuing to tweak the list a little bit. But unfortunately, we can't get to play all that often now due to the lockdown, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard from a lot of different people that Modern is really great at the moment. I think Cyrus Gorman Gill has tweeted something like Modern has something, it cures an itch that Legacy hasn't for a long time, or something like that.
That's true, yeah.
And yeah, I can't really say anything about Modern because I as you both know, I have sold my all non-legacy collection last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because our schedule for playing Modern is always too soon for me, and I think the last time I played Modern was 3 years ago, so yeah, I made the choice, and now I'm maybe feeling a little bit, yeah, sad, because sometimes I wished I could feel the same as you, Daniel, about the format.
I mean, I guess the time will come back for Legacy. I'm not sure if it will come now, since the Eternal Weekend has passed, and Wizard announced that concerning Legacy, they won't make any changes prior to Eternal Weekend. But I think also Legacy will feel great again for you. I mean, I'm assuming now that you don't have the experience that a lot of people have with Modern, since you're mentioning that.
Yeah, that's true, because I like to play some mid-range also in between the combo-y style decks. But yeah, you simply can't play any non-blue mid-range non-Ragavan van decks, and it just feels kind of hard. And also, yeah, it's not just Ragavan for me, it's just Murktide, but that drifts up into a band discussion, and I don't want this here actually. So I think if you're ready, Daniel, then we will switch to Peter. Is it okay?
Yeah, sure. Nothing to add.
Yeah.
Nothing to add here. So Peter, what happened in the last 3 weeks for you?
I mean, there wasn't that much happening. I mean, university stuff, yada yada. But one thing that came out that I was really, really excited about was the series Arcane on Netflix, which I watched. It was like,
is this the League of Legends one?
Yeah, it's the League of Legends one.
Is this more like, I'm sorry, but just for me to know, I haven't seen anything of it, and I'm not a real big
you can watch it.
I haven't ever seen League of Legends, but is this more in a drawing style, like anime or comic, or is this live action?
It's animation, but a really, really unique kind of animation. It's, how's it called? Yeah, it's a really, really unique style. It was, for the first episode, it was a little bit of like getting into it. But yeah, the series was great. Every of the three arcs were really, really good, because it was scheduled in three arcs. So the first three episodes, the next three, and the last three. The series was really, really good. They already announced the second season, I think not for 2022, but for 2023. So they will take a lot of time to make this one. It got 10 out of 10 from IGN. It got a 9.4 score on IMDb. It got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. So the series is like really, really good. And it's currently the debate if Arcane or Squid Game is the best series that came out on Netflix this year. So,
okay, wow.
I really, really recommend for all of our listeners, and especially you two, to watch the series. You don't need any knowledge about League of Legends. Just watch the series, see the character development. It is really, really insane. And maybe the first two episodes, you have to kind of warm up to the atmosphere there, but it's really, really good.
I mean, it's kind of hard for me to get warm with this kind of series style, because I've tried to watch The Witcher, the animation style one, and I just couldn't get past the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
So that's not really what I want in a series or in a movie. I will definitely try it. Maybe I like it. So thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, sure. So if nothing happens privately, I always have a series or a movie to recommend here. And Red Notice was a really good family adventure.
Yeah.
You can watch this one.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard today Eternal Glory podcast also has said that the Red Notice was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, so I have to definitely watch this.
I agree. I have also seen this movie. So I can...
I mean, if you see the lineup and you have Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Johnson, which the most hilarious thing I found out after that for some interviews is that Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, is called TJ, which sounds like a small boy. And I found it hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, the lineup was great and the movie was a really, really fun thing to watch.
True.
And I am excited for the next movie they will make. I think they already confirmed there will be a second movie for Red Notice. Yeah. So, Phil, what happened to you?
Yeah, as our listeners probably know, I'm currently at my... how do you say this? In my education? For making... It's kind of hard to explain because it's a Germany and Austrian and Swiss thing, because if you're I'm a painter, so I make rooms nice and something.
And you build the opponent out, yeah?
No, that's you.
That's grindstone, yeah, I know.
but I work as a painter, and if you want to make your own company, you need to have a master's degree, but it's not a university master, so it's more of a... Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain.
Actually. It's a different kind of certificate. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different kind of certificate, and I'm in the middle of doing this. So it's kind of hard, actually, and I do it besides my day job. So I'm in school every weekend, and that's... I don't want to say it's burning me out, but I don't really have much time for magic or for something else at the moment, and so I'm not too pissed about the lockdown.
I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally understand it, and I'm looking forward when we can meet again. So for our listeners, if they are already hearing it, we are recording this remote.
Yep.
Yeah. So and hopefully for the only this episode and next episode, and then we can meet up again. That would be great, yeah.
I think we can make this happen.
And also, I'm sorry.
I think we can make this happen.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I can tell from my private stuff is that I upgraded my setup a little bit. I have bought a new webcam, and I've installed some acoustic... how do you say this?
Elements.
It's called... Yeah, some acoustic elements in my room. Elements. isn't there a word for Noppenschaum?
I don't think so.
Like an...
It's kind of the nubbly thing on the condoms and...
yeah.
Okay, that's great, Peter.
I am... contributing something.
It's something. And maybe you can hear it. I'm not sure if you hear any difference, but I upgraded my microphone to a Rode NT1A. So we have now the same microphone in our setup. Rode Bros.
Rode Bros. Rode Bros. That's true, yeah.
And the only thing I can also... tell you is that I've played with Peter in the Eternal Weekend Sylvan Library on Sunday night.
Exactly.
How did it went, actually, for you guys?
It was a great stream. I think I will start here. Is this okay, Peter?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm just... I don't have these in my head. I have to look my matchups up. At first, I have dropped after 8 rounds. I haven't thought about playing 10 rounds. It was just too hard. I had such a huge headache for the last 2 matches. And I just said, okay, I am now... I finished 4-4. I'm now 4-4. And I totally missed my goal of going 0-3 drop. So that's okay. and I can drop in peace with myself. I've played my trusty old Turbo Phoenix list. It's the Burning Wish and Bird Alive Phoenix deck that I already played in Freising. I have the list still from Nick B MTG on Twitter, and it felt great. I gotta say, it felt great, although I just went 4-4. But the games were so much fun, and it's astonishing how good that 3 birds in the first turn are still in the Dragavan meta. It's just so cool. And what's probably the most impressive... what's the most impressive about all this is that I won my first match versus Doomsday 2-0.
That's nice, actually. How did you just have turn 1 Phoenix 2 games in a row?
I had... Game 1, turn 1, 4 Phoenix.
4 Phoenix, turn 1, nice.
4 Phoenix, turn 1, it was a Phoenix in hand, an LED, and Ritual, and an Infernal Tutor.
Okay, nice.
So, and then I, in game 2, I mulled to 5, and had only, I had a land, Rite of Flame, a Phoenix.
Ah, this one.
Yeah, this one. And I think... Did I have a Cavil Therapy or an Unmask?
What was the play?
Do you know it, Peter?
I think it was a Cavil Therapy, if I remember correctly.
So I'm not so sure, actually, now. But the thing is, I went to turn 2... Hardcast the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And it won the game.
Backed up by some Cavil Therapies that I've drawn.
I mean, there's not much that Doomsday can do about a Phoenix on the board.
And he had the Doomsday in hand, I think. Am I right?
I think so. And I called it with Therapy. I have to rewatch it, but I'm... I know that I've won with one Phoenix on board and it went all the way. That's like Delver players feel, I think.
Yeah.
If they play Delver.
Exactly.
And speaking of Delver, my second match was versus Blue-Red Delver.
Okay.
That I also won 2-1. Which is kind of great because the first game was also decided by... Unmask into 3 Phoenix is turn 1. And the second game, I lost pretty horrific versus Raghavan, Darcy, and Murktide Regent. and game 3 was very great because he had already Raghavan, Murktide Regent, and Darcy also... on the battlefield, and I was on 7 life, I think, but I managed to storm off for 5 with the empty warrants I've drawn, and he was on 16, and then I burning wished for a Goblin War Strike and burned him for 10, and he just gave up. So I've got my first Goblin War Strike win in the fifth match.
Really great.
It was just a good feeling. Then I went on to lose against Doomsday versus I think this was Monkeys Can't Cry.
Yeah.
And he's a known player, and he's a very good player, and you could see the difference between the first Doomsday opponent and this one.
Yeah.
He just killed me two times in a row, turn one. But I managed to steal game two at least. Also with free Phoenix on turn one.
Yeah, Doomsday is a hard deck to play, for sure.
Yeah, I've talked with some people, and they said Doomsday is a little bit kind of a toss-up for these kind of Storm decks. So it's basically who wins the dice roll, or who goes first is favored. And I'm not so sure how my dice rolls went in this match. Then I went on to lose as Blue Red Delver. So at this point it was just Doomsday Delver. And yeah, then I was 2-2, and it was I think 11 p.m. or half past 11 at this moment. And I was deciding, shall I play another one or shall I go to bed now? But I decided to go further, and then I was paired against 8 cast, which I haven't played prior to this. And the first match was really hard. He had almost everything. Fossil Villain, Fossil Negation, a lot of blockers in the air, and I couldn't really do something. But I managed to steal game two and game three, and I can't remember how. The only thing I know is that I won this, which is a otherwise horribly, horrible matchup.
Yeah.
And then I went on against Chant Hogak, which I lost 2-0. My only 2-0 in this tournament. And that hurt a little bit.
Okay.
It was Chant Hogak versus me.
Really?
Yeah. He had two times turn three lethal. I had game one.
Okay, and you struggled to find action, basically.
No, I had two times turn one three Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
But it just wasn't enough because he was fast.
That's just stompy heaven.
And that was kind of strange because when I played Hogak, I seldom had these hands. But it's okay. Sometimes these things happen. I can't really say something because I also had good hands. So yeah. That happens. Then I went to play versus Red Prison. There I lost the first match because of turn one Chalice on one, turn two Chalice on two. And I could beat the Chalice on one because I played a Pulverize in my sideboard and I had pretty much everything in my hand. And then he plays they played the Chalice on two, and suddenly my Burning Wish into Pulverize don't work anymore, and I don't think Harkas Phoenix would have been enough.
Oh no, yeah.
So I conceded without showing him anything more than Volcanic Island. So I banked on him thinking I was Blue Red Delver.
I think a good idea, because a lot of people would expect Delver if they only saw something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my plan, and I run it back my 60 for the second game, and I think they really haven't thought about Phoenix and got in turn two with three of them. So yeah, he played I think a first turn Blood Moon, but I had the petal and was easy win from there on, and I can't remember game three anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it was at this point. It was, I think, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Am I right, Peter?
Could be.
Yeah, and the last one was versus Lance. Yeah, last one was versus Lance, where I won the first match also on the back of my Phoenixes. This is kind of, this tournament was kind of strange because in Freising I have won so many games with Empty the Warrens, and here I won primarily over with the Phoenixes.
Yeah.
So I'm really not used to it, to my plan A working this good. I also managed in this tournament to evade any Endurance. I haven't played a single match versus an Endurance deck. Yeah, and then I lost 2 times versus Lance, 2 times a Fast Married Lage.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, I can't do this anymore. This is just too hard for me. It's after 2 in the morning and I need to go to bed now.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was my experience with Eternal Weekend. My first Eternal Weekend ever. And it was kind of great, but it would be way, way better if it was paper, and if it wouldn't be in such an ungodly, time.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So for you, Peter, how did you went? You played the whole event, am I right?
Yeah, I stayed up for the whole event. I played all 10 rounds. I mean, huge shout out to Kai Savatari and Zone Ender from our Discord. Without them, I think it wouldn't be possible. At this late of a time, you really, really need other ones that keep you focused, that you can talk to and do something. Yeah, I started the event off really, really hot. I won 2-0 versus Tess. Then I won 2-0 versus Mono White Stompy. It was kind of frustrating because this opponent had the first 7 or 8 minutes of the game, he did nothing, and I just had to wait it out, which is, really, really frustrating and can tilt you, but it was kind of okay because I could watch Fiddle play. Then I won against Mono Red Painter with a 2-1, where I had to play around the grindstones in game one, that I can't really play the painter out, and it was a little bit of a sub game how you want to combo. And I scooped game two after 3 rounds, where I was definitely not dead on board, but there was a little bit lower in the time, and I wanted to have enough time for game three, and I didn't want that to use the time to come back, which was an okay play, and I'm glad I made it. Then I lost each 0-2 versus Mono Green Cloud Post, Blue Red Delver, and Band Control. Blue Red Delver was just hilarious. He just had everything.
I've seen this game.
Yeah, Mono Green Cloud Post was Piffing Needle game one, turn two against Grindstone, and double Piffing Needle game two. Yeah, was just bad. Band Control, I think a little bit, I misplayed a little bit, and seems like a matchup to train for me. Then I won 2-1 versus Cheska Sagaban, which was, were also hilarious games. I think there was one game where I got meltdowned, a 4-for-1 at turn 3 or something like that. And I had left a Mother of Runes and a Plains. And I won the game on turn 30 or so with 10 cards left in deck, with double with double grindstone activations for two turns to natural middle my opponent for lethal because my painter were surgicaled. I had 4 seconds so on the clock. It was like, yeah, insane. Yeah. Then I won 2-0 versus 8-cast. Then an 0-2 versus Lance. I just can't beat the matchup and I don't know why. I think I need to have more Blood Moon effects or something like that. But yeah, that's something I have to elaborate in future times. Then I won 2-0 the last round versus DNT for a 6-4 finish. Then I went to bed and my two co-player or Kai and Sona that were in the Discord, like, one went to the gym and one was like, yeah, it's 9 o'clock in the evening, I'll do something else. And I felt like it's 5 o'clock in the morning, I definitely have to go to bed.
but a little bit of side note here, it was really great streaming with you, Peter. And that's the thing, if you want to see us stream or join us when we stream such event, then head over to our Discord. We packed the Discord link in the show notes and you can find an invite link also on our link tree or in our Twitter feed.
Yeah, and maybe I will do something like a challenge or a league or something else in the future, but I have to see because I cleared off my Mana Traders account, but maybe I will.
I have Mana Traders again. I have reactivated it.
Yeah, maybe I will do it again, but yeah. Next year is a little bit more healthier with the cost because I'm doing another job next year, so it should be in my budget.
Yeah, I will also definitely play a little bit more MTGO, especially now that we're in the lockdown.
Exactly.
So it's the only way to kill the urge to play some MTG.
Yeah.
And yeah, today I played a new brew of mine. It was inspired by the 5-0 decklist dump. Bro Veltin has 5-0'd with Upsan Ephemerate Grief midrange style build. And I promptly kicked out green and replaced it with red. And because made it worse, but exactly. I made it my style.
Yeah, Mardu for the win.
Yeah, for sure. There will be a Mardu deck. I'm not sure when, but there will be a Mardu deck that's mid-range or aggro or something like that, and it will be glorious.
You can try Painter, but the kicked black.
That's a combo. That's a combo deck. No. I love my combo decks, but I want a Mardu midrange or aggro deck or control deck.
Yeah, you can then play Dark Confidant instead of Painter and something else instead of Grindstone and take my list. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's probably the Doretti list that I'm also working on.
So, but I think we will get now to the main part of this episode. Which
after 35 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Which is... Yeah, or which are our listeners' questions. So we have...
Oh, yeah. We had asked our listeners to send in all of the questions that they can think of. And even if they are ridiculous, we are answering them. And we've got some over Twitter. We've got some over our Discord. And yeah, why don't we start with the first one?
So, yeah. It was the discussion about mulled wine and Glühwein.
This,
yeah, because we haven't.
This is the same, right? Yeah. Mulled wine is the same.
Yeah. Is it the same?
Yeah, it's the same. It is it's definitely English the same. Word,
yeah, of but Glühwein.
Yeah. But
yeah,
but
and we the Rocco111 from our Discord has said that the word we were searching for last time was mulled wine. And we, I think we have told you about glowing wine or something like that. But yeah, that would be the direct translation from German. So yeah, we meant mulled wine, and we are definitely in the season for it.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh yeah. It's great.
And then we have also from, this one is from Twitter, I think, from Kai Savatari. Give us your best explanations for gemütliche Hütten.
Yeah, good question.
For yeah, me, Daniel, this one's for
I'm
you.
I'm not the kind of guy that is typically hanging around in gemütliche Hittens, but what I would imagine is it is definitely a house made of wood, of course. It has some old dark wood. There must be some kind of a fireplace. And typically there is a lot of, you typically find it for our people in Austria in skiing areas.
Yeah.
What you can do is it is kind of like a restaurant, but everything is out of wood. You have, in the most ideal case, a nice fireplace and it's just cozy. You sit together with your friends and of course have some mulled wine, for example.
or a nice beer.
I wanted to say this. But I don't know the English term.
Yeah. Dumplings.
I'm not sure what the English word. Now we have the same situation like with the malt wine. It's not a germ like the germ from the battle skull, but it's
germ dumplings.
Whatever.
Really?
So you have to experience the germ token of a battle skull being translated into a good old dumpling.
They are yeast dumplings, so they're huge. They're like a little ball. I think
they're just great.
10 to 12 centimeters in diameter, and they're filled with plum jam, which is called Powidl in Austria.
With Powidl marmalade.
The words are getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, and we have. How's it called? The thing where you make drugs out on it with butter.
What the fuck?
Yeah, moan.
Poppy seeds.
You mean poppy seeds?
Yeah. It's called poppy seeds. Yeah. It's called poppy seeds? Okay.
Yeah, it's called poppy seeds.
You have poppy seeds on them with either a sauce of just regular butter or vanilla. So. Yeah.
Now I need some.
And yeah, I really, really feel the explanation of Daniel here. I would say literally the same except for I would have described it in summer times. If you are going hiking, you go to the top of the mountain. There is also a building out of wood where you get inside, get the, how's it called?
The cabin in the woods.
Yeah, you get the Spiegiosen. It's
we're throwing the
German
Austrian
words
slang
out.
here around and everywhere, and
which is like a bread with bacon and onions, and yeah, it's something that you can really enjoy there.
Oh yeah, that's true, and have a nice beer with it. Oh, that's great.
And what is especially important is that the light is not too bright, I think. If it's if the light is not too bright, it's a really, really good sign to be a gemütliche Hütten, I would say.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, definitely.
You need dim light for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you the have light a really doesn't... sexy atmosphere.
Exactly. So I think we can move on to the next question, which is advertisement alert. Who is our favorite Patreon supporter?
Ooh.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, that's hard.
A hard one.
I mean, we tried to do a ranking from the top to the worst.
I mean, I love all of them, so it's really hard to, and kind of unfair to put us to the test here.
Yeah, I would say so too. But nevertheless, Gino, we would like to call you how you want to be called. You, yeah, you know how you are.
And by the way, shout outs to Gino.
Yeah, by the way, shout outs.
Yeah, our one and only Patreon at the moment. So hop on to patreon.com/response_legacy.
And join in on Gino. So yeah, a really, really important other question from Gino here. What's the best beer out there and why is it Freistädter Ratsheim Premium?
I agree. I personally agree.
I'm not so sure if it's the best beer out there. And we are totally not sponsored.
I mean, out there is a very subjective determination, right? So
yeah, for sure.
What does out there mean?
Yeah, probably in the world.
Yeah, in the world, yeah.
Beer is such a subjective thing. I mean, what I can definitely describe as the best beer is in response a Zwickel, because this one will be really, really great. And by the way, between the last episode and this, we had a beer brewery lesson from one of our friends.
Yes.
Completely missed it.
So much to nothing has happened.
I mean, it's kind of normal.
Yeah, we're just brewing beer together. We're going to the cinema together and watch Dune and nothing happens. No, nothing happens. All the time. Each episode is the same.
We don't talk.
We do things and forget them.
We don't talk about Dune because I don't think that it was an okay-ish film, but it wasn't like it was described from others. It wasn't like, it's so insane. It was like the first 45 minutes of nothing happening, or the first 10 minutes of a little bit happening, and then 45 minutes of nothing happening, then half an hour of something happening, and then 50 minutes that made some progress in the movie. And I was like, there, fuck. And one thing that my girlfriend and I really, really hated, I think it should be the same for you, Daniel, too, because there was always this not so bright atmosphere in the movie, and then the camera moved directly to the sun and then back to really, really dark places, and every time my eyes like hurt. So
that's true. Yeah. So not really a gemütlicher movie.
Yeah, definitely. The opposite of a gemütlicher movie.
back to the question from Gino. It's probably one of the best beers that you can get in Austria. I'm pretty sure. But if it's the best beer in the world, I would say...
The Freistädter is like the best standard beer that we currently have in Upper Austria. It's like the one that you get for normal prices that is great to drink.
And it's not a craft beer.
And most of the Austrians drink it, which is also important because...
That's simply not true because you just don't get it everywhere.
I mean, in our local distribution.
Yeah, in our local distribution. Yeah, but if you just bring it to the Salzkammergut to Gmunden, you don't even get it anymore. It's really just in an area of about 30 miles or something where you can get it.
No, it's far bigger than 30 miles, I think. But yeah,
maybe 50, but
not Freistädter, really much more. The Freistädter brewery is getting a little bit bigger, but yeah, we in Austria, we have a big company that makes a lot of different beers, which is the Braunion. They make like Gösser,
You have eight or nine.
They have a lot of. They are bought from how is it called?
Heineken.
The Netherlands. That Heineken. Yeah, they're bought from Heineken. Yep. And yeah.
So. And it's basically, if you want good beer, you simply buy something that's not bought from Heineken.
Yeah.
And then everything's great.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few good beer from the Braunion, but yeah, Freistädter is definitely better, I would say, for me. Okay, so let's move on from the kind of,
magic questions.
Non-magic related questions to the magic questions. So we have a question from Markus Ewald. What's your favorite phase?
Ooh, that's hard. Daniel, why don't you start?
For me, it's easy, I would say.
Okay.
Draw step.
Draw step. Okay, nice.
You have a reason?
Because I'm drawing a card. Okay.
So,
and I'd love to draw cards.
So, okay. So I move on. I'm going to say the end of the second main phase of my opponent.
Okay.
Because, I was a mana-less stretch player. And if you have Street Rave with Narco Meeps and Price the Melgrams, it is really, really important to do this in the end of the second main phase and not in the end step, because then Price the Melgram triggers.
That's true. That's true.
So, Phil?
I'm a little bit out of... out of the way here, because I love the upkeep.
that would have been my second choice.
Yeah, the upkeep. Yeah. There are just so many nice things that you can do in the upkeep, and I think the coolest things that you can do, like porting your opponent, or have Dark Confident triggers, or like today, Ephemerate rebounds in the upkeep. I gotta say, or Icarid triggers in the upkeep. So yeah. There's so many cool effects that are upkeep triggers that my favorite phase is the upkeep.
Yeah. So. For the next question from Andreas Leopold Zeida, which is one of our local guys, which deck do you prefer to play against and which one you don't want to play against? So basically, what is your nemesis and what are the decks in German we would say drive over, which you just completely dismantle. Let's start with you, Phil, now that you don't have any time to prepare, yeah?
I don't have time to prepare. I think it's it depends on the deck that I'm playing, for sure.
But in general?
But in general, I like to play versus Delver the most.
Yeah.
Actually. It's versus Delver decks, it's you're never really that far behind. And it probably stems from the idea that all my decks are either really, really removal heavy, or are a combo deck which are naturally good against Delver, like Hogak or Dredge or kind of graveyard centric decks. So probably it's Delver which I like the most to play against.
Yeah.
And the decks that I don't want to play against are probably things like prison decks, stompy decks.
Okay.
Because the Trinity Spheres just always hurt that much. Or maybe the control-ish decks, they just have too much. But that's really hard. I think I go with Death and Taxes here.
Okay.
Because they are always so how do you say this, unscheinbar.
They, I mean.
Oh, that's hard. That's hard now. I need to Google this.
Inconspicuous.
Okay. I'll probably go with death and taxes here because they're always so inconspicuous. But they're always such a huge powerhouse. And you think you have the game, and then they just go, okay, and then I have this, and then I have this, and then I flicker this, and then I flicker this, and the recruit of the guard, and I make this, and you're just, okay, what the fuck has happened now? So, yeah, I prefer to play against Delver, and I hate to play against Devon Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a summary.
So, Daniel, for you?
When I started to think about it, the deck that I didn't play or don't want to play against was pretty clear for me. I have to agree with Philip here. They are stompy decks.
Yeah.
Because the games are decided just basically in the first or second turn, and that's just not magic for me.
Yeah.
And this is also the reason why I don't play them, or the reason why I don't like to play against them is that I like to play against interactive decks that play out in little intricacies, like control decks. Actually, blue decks are one of my favorites. I love also to play against Delver, because every decision is so crucial and matters a lot. I really like to play against matchups where tight play is rewarded, and this is the best feeling for me in Magic.
Yeah, and for me it's I also like to play versus like the Delver decks. It's kind of like every decision matters, and it's most of the time, even for the small number of non-games from them, like small decisions really, really matter. And if you play well the game, you will win. So I really, really like it to play against the Delver variants. And I don't go with Death and Taxes because I have a local player that always loses to me, so I kind of like seeing him. I will go with Lance. Lance is always, for me, at least with the painted decks, a really, really hard deck to navigate against. It's, I don't know against which plan I have to fight a small portion of time. Do I have to respect Marid Large a lot? Do I have to respect other plans like the three-man enchantment? And sometimes it's really, really hard for me to navigate this matchup. And I really, really have to learn the ins and outs of it. So, yeah, for now I go with, with Lance here. So, now we have a question for our combo experts here. What is currently the best combo deck and why is it Doomsday?
From Romario Neto?
From Romario Neto, yeah.
Yeah, a good question, and it is clear that Doomsday is the best combo deck for sure.
I mean, I kind of have to disagree here, because according to the data, the best combo deck that performed at the Eternal Weekends was not Doomsday, it was Upsil Spells.
Okay. Yeah, just because the meta is weak to it.
Yeah. I mean, if I would also just look at my personal request, it would definitely be Ant. Yeah. It's the best combo deck. But this is this is just one focused view. I mean, I still think that Doomsday is probably
Definitely the best. I mean, Doomsday gets some hate, and the Graveyard hate currently is not that big, so Oops has definitely a little bit of an edge, especially with Blue Red Delver moving down on forces. So
yeah, and that's always the case. If the arms race in Delver is that high like it is now, graveyard decks are thriving. Yeah, they're really great, and that's also the reason why Reanimator is coming back big.
Yeah,
and just Oops is even a little bit faster than Reanimator.
Yeah,
and also a little bit more fragile. So, in this case, just the fastness or the speed just trumps it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was. Oops was probably a really good choice. I haven't thought of it myself, but like I said before, I haven't faced a single Endurance. I haven't faced any real graveyard hate, not even ley lines or not even surgicals. It was kind of weird if I think about it. So graveyard hate is already at its lowest point. I mean, Force of Negation works versus graveyard decks really well, but Oops is really, really good at the moment.
Yeah.
But Doomsday is also, in my opinion, a little bit better.
Yeah, Doomsday is objectively, I think, the best combo deck. I would say spell-based combo deck, because paint is just better, but no. Doomsday is the best combo deck. And from a standpoint of really, really good players, it's 100% Doomsday. Because if you know the deck in and out, for example, like Kai, like Romario Neto himself, you are just that tight better.
Yeah, and that was the case, I think, like forever. But the piles are now so much easier, and
I think that
now you can win with Doomsday. I mean, before there was always a way to win, but it was just too hard to navigate, I think.
I think that the entry level with Phasos Oracle just got the tight bit easier, but I think to operate the deck, you still need a lot of things to do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I think with Phasos Oracle, it's a little bit harder to disrupt the combo, yeah. And yeah, I think we move on to the next questions. These are from Victor Bernards. From Shoutout
Stockholm Legacy Report.
Exactly. What's our take on what the Austrian meta is? I mean, we know that our local meta in Linz is quite non-blue, we would say. And we've currently, or today we went through the history because we have it all on the website, austrian-legacy.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have around 53% non-blue decks here. So only 47% are blue decks with a 19% tempo share, which is like blue-red Delver with 6.5%. Then we have Ninjas, Rug Delver, and which was the...
Jeskai Raghavan.
And the Jeskai Raghavan.
Blue-red Saga and Death Shadow.
And Death Shadow, exactly. And what's surprising is, even though we have proxies allowed, the most played deck here is Death in Texas with a 10% meta share.
True, so, yeah.
That's not our take. This is our rundown of the Austrian meta.
Yeah.
Because we have data to back it up. If we go from a broader perspective to the whole of Austria, I think that the meta is still a little bit representative. I think it's a little bit more blue there, because we have, if I remember correctly, a lot of control players in Vienna and Graz. Mm-hmm. And Linz is kind of the Maverick heaven or something like that, or the D&T heaven, because we have, I mean, not heaven, the guys played here, and
that's definitely true. And his second question was, which deck would you want to play but haven't dared to sleeve up?
I will start with this because we talked about the deck already. For me, it's actually Doomsday. I kind of want to play it because I like the Giftstorm thing that you can pull out a few cards from your deck and use those to win the game. But yeah, I mean, for our local meta, I have the proxies for the Underground Caesar. I think I have the whole deck here. But it's just so that, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the deck is really something for me, especially with Daniel giving up on the deck and saying he's too bad for it. No, it's just not his kind of style.
Yes, this is two different kind of things. Yeah, but yeah, probably I'm also not that good at it. That's, yeah, fine.
So yeah, then but which deck haven't you dared to sleeve up?
I mean, what is meant by that I don't dare to sleeve it up?
I mean, I think you haven't also bought or something like that. Some deck that you really want to try, but yeah, either money issues or time issues haven't prevented it.
I mean, money issues and time issues is definitely all the Mox Diamond decks. So, 4-color loan, for example, looks like a deck that I really would love in Legacy.
Yeah, exactly, with your Chant background, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that this deck would be the closest analogon to Chant in Modern, in Legacy.
Yeah.
And also the best and playable version. And... I think that's actually it. All the Mox Diamond decks. And also lands to a certain extent. But first and foremost, 4-color loan.
Yeah.
What about
so
you,
for
Peter?
You, Phil?
Oh, Phil, sorry.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Peter here. For me, there are two decks that I already own, but I haven't sleeved up yet because I'm too because I think of myself that I'm too inexperienced with it.
Is it Ice Station Zebra?
No. it's Doomsday, like in your case, and also it's Tess.
Mm-hmm.
Because the intricacies of both decks are just so hard, and that they're so minuscule. Decisions that you have to make to win, that I'm not sure if I can pull it off.
Mm-hmm.
So these are definitely the two decks that I have bought and I haven't sleeved up yet. Maybe I will do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially Tess. Tess is really, really interesting.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, I have to buy the Chromoxes, but then I can try it myself, I would say. So, yeah. So we come down to the last questions from Zone Ender 120. Our top 5 picks to unban.
I gotta look the ban list up here.
I already tooted it up. Here it is.
you okay. Perfect. Thank you.
The thing I'm missing here
I
is...
I think I will start here now.
Yeah.
The top 5. So I think I'll start with the top 1 that I think is unbannable.
Yeah.
And that is Lurist. Yeah. Definitely Lurist of the Dream then. I still think with the change in the companion rule, Lurus would be a very, very interesting card to have main deck for for every non-blue deck, for a Dead Guy Ale style deck or something in this kind of direction. It would be really cool to have this effect in Legacy. And I don't think it would be too good. Yeah. For my number 2, it would be Frantic Search, because Frantic Search is, with all the power creep that we had in the last years, it's not too oppressive on the format or something. It would just empower one specific or two specific archetypes, which would be Blue Black Reanimator, maybe Tin Fins, and for sure it would empower High Tide.
Yeah.
And I can totally live with that if these decks get better.
Yeah.
For my third pick, it would be Mind Twist, because I think it's a great card and it's nowhere near the power level that it should be banned. For my fourth pick, now the things get really hard. It would be Survival of the Fittest, because I like the play style. It just fits me. It fits me totally. But I hate the price tag that it's on.
Yeah.
And for my fifth pick would be, I don't see it here, but I think it would be Mind's Desire. I don't think Mind's Desire is too good for Legacy. Especially now with Force of Negation in the format, I think we can safely unban Mind's Desire.
Yeah. Okay.
And you, Daniel, what's your pick? What's your top five here?
I'm not sure if I can make up five, but I can try. I think I have two routes to go here. What I think are the most unbannable cards, or what the cards do I personally want to be unbanned. But
your personal top five unbanned.
I would also go for this approach, because I think it's kind of funnier that way. I actually, out of this list, the two cards that I think a lot of people would hate me if I say these cards, but I really love to have back Senseless Divining Top and Deathrite Shaman. These are
I hate you for the Deathrite Shaman. For the top is totally okay, but I hate you for the Deathrite Shaman.
And I can get it, but I love Deathrite Shaman. And for the Senseless Divining Top, what I would actually do is I would vice versa ban Counterbalance.
That would also be my approach.
So that we just have top in our decks, in basically all of our decks then.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it. And Deathrite Shaman is just a nice grindy creature. I mean, okay, yeah, we have this four color bullshit piles then that everyone is playing, but yeah. I kind of like this era. To add, I also love Gidexian Probe. I would have loved to play Ant again with Gidexian Probes. It was a very good experience. And besides those three, I mean, there are a lot of cards that could easily go off the ban list. Like you said, Peter, Frantic Search looks fine and Mind Twist also looks fine. I just want to elaborate a little bit on Lyris, because I noticed from Modern, I have read a lot of discussions that Lyris might be a little too good for Modern, and some people say at least. So I'm not sure if this card would be good for Legacy.
From an outside's perspective, I think Lyris is really, really good in Modern. Because
really
currently
really strong,
the decks are so fucking low to the ground, mm-hmm. with the only top end card is the sideboard Lurus. And yeah, if you see most of the top decks, except I think for the blue-red Delver list or the blue-red Murktide list, I think all of them are basically Lurus decks.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have like the Chant deck with Lurus. Then you have Hammer Time with Lurus. Then I think Green-Black Infect plays Lurus. I think most of the top decks all play Lurus, and it's just, a really, really good card. Because you in Modern, I think currently you go way over the top, play blue-red spells, or play Lurus. Is it correct?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, This is just my impression.
Okay.
What about you, Peter?
So if you go the Jenker route, I just want my decks to improve. I will continue on this one. So I will just have my Senses Divining top for Velder shenanigans. I want my Astrolab back to play Painter with way more basics.
You're too ridiculous.
I want my Lurus back to play them on my down deck. So I can play all the good cards. Which are some other good cards that you want in Painter? Yeah, it's kind of hard. Maybe the Moxen. No. No,
Realistic.
I think that you can save Lamp and Yawgmoth's Bargain. I don't think that this card is too good currently because we have, like, how's it called? The 6 mana artifact. Grizzlebrand, for example. No, we have Bolas Citadel 2, which is just, I think, better. And yeah, I'm not sure about Mind Twist, not because of the random factor, but the casual 3 mana or 4 mana, 3 for 1 or 2 for 1, can be kind of devastating if you're splash just for the Mind Twist in the control mirrors, and it can make them really, really unfun. But yeah, you should have counters for that one. Yeah, maybe we can unban something like a Hermit Druid or something like that. I'm not sure.
I think the Hermit Druid is probably too good.
Do you think it's too good? We're playing currently in a time where we have 8 remove spell main deck for him. So I think it's kind of okay-ish. Yeah, but most likely it should be something like Frantic Search, because yeah, High Tide is not a problem. But maybe Marcus Ewald shows us that High Tide with Frantic Search is just way too good. But I think you just play a few more Whale of Summers and then it's just fine.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I think.
And that was our mailbag episode. We had really, really nice and great questions from you. And yeah, we love doing this.
Yeah. From Glühwein über gemütliche Hitten to unbans, it was just an amazing episode, I would say. I mean, I felt good.
It's a little bit longer than the usual episodes. Normally we try to keep it under an hour. But yeah, I think this one goes a little bit longer this time.
Yeah. I think
if you like what we are doing, just consider supporting us on Patreon and tell your friends about our podcast. That would be the greatest thing you can do for us.
Yeah, it helps out. So, yeah. Do we have any advertisements at the end?
Advertisements, yeah. I have an advertisement. Hop onto our Discord if you want to ask us some questions that we can go over in our podcast. And yeah, just follow us on social media. Speaking of social media, follow us on Twitter @response_legacy and also follow our sister project, the Austrian Legacy League, on Twitter. It's @Austrian_legacy. Where can we find you, Daniel, on social media?
On social media, you can find me @FlyingDeliver on Twitter. And more frequently on Discord, of course, and on my website on greatness@danicosta.com, where we can find you, Peter.
You can find me mostly on Twitter and on our own In Response a Legacy podcast or In Response a Legacy Discord server. But on Twitter, you can find me with @UnicornLord, but the O in the Lord is a zero. And let us not forget it, if the listeners are still listening here, we have Jeff Laubenstein on the Back to Magic event in February 2022. And updates will follow shortly on this episode. And yeah, we keep you updated.
That's it for this time. We'll see you again on the 17th of December. for the next Christmas episode, where we have maybe a special guest.
But maybe. In response, the end.
This was In Response, a Legacy Podcast. If you enjoyed the ride, feel free to support the show by following, leaving a review, or subscribe on Patreon.com/response_legacy.